And we are thankful to God that though technology can be, it can be troublesome at times, we can use it for the glory of God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. And I really like this portion of scripture. It may be familiar to you today, but hopefully you've got it in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I," this is Isaiah, "then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." What was it that got this response out of Isaiah? Why did Isaiah say, "Woe is me, for I am undone"? He realized that he was undone because he saw the King and the Lord of hosts. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And Isaiah says, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me." What a beautiful response. Isaiah maybe thought he was all that and a bag of chips. But when he got into the presence of God, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." When I see the glory of God, I realize, and when I see the greatness of God, I realize I am undone. And so God's mercy had reached out to Isaiah, and Isaiah says, when the Lord says, "Who will go with this message of mercy? Who will go to the world?" Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." I want to minister just my title today, just one word, and that is the word undone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for your presence that we feel here. We thank you for the encouragement we feel as we come together as a church, as a body. Lord, we feel encouraged to be in the presence and in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And Lord, as your word comes forth today, let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Turn me into a microphone from heaven. Lord, hide me behind the cross that people may hear what you have for them today, that I would not be a hindrance, Lord, but a vessel to be used by you. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Undone. You may be seated. Isaiah is, maybe you could say, he is one of the most inspired characters in the Bible. With Isaiah, the thing that I love about Isaiah is that when he prophesies of Jesus and Jesus' birth and his crucifixion, Isaiah prophesies in a way that it's like Isaiah can see it with his own eyes. It's like he's there. And he is one of the most inspired characters in the Word of God. He lived, although he prophesied about the birth of Jesus, he lived 700 years before Jesus was born. And he prophesied the coming of Jesus, that Jesus would come to salvage and to save us, mankind, from our sin. Now, this week I would encourage you to read Isaiah, especially the first, say, 6 chapters, 10 chapters. But if you read the book of Isaiah, you will see that there is a clear line, a clear change in Isaiah's ministry. From Isaiah chapter 5 to Isaiah 6, there is a change, a very clear line. Something happened. Isaiah is operating, I guess you could say, as a normal prophet. And then in Isaiah 6, we see that he begins to operate in a depth of God's inspiration. There is a change that happens. Everyone say a change. The first five chapters, Isaiah is prophesying and observing the sin of Israel. He is saying, woe is Israel, because of the sins of idolatry, because of the sins of greed, because of the sins of Sodom. He's saying, woe, woe, woe. Israel, woe, woe, woe. Woe to the greedy. Woe to the partiers. Woe to the mockers. Woe to the perverts. Woe to the self-conceited. Woe to the lawless people. Woe. But then something happens between chapter 5 and chapter 6. Woe is them becomes woe is me. It was not only the wicked of Judah whom he had been preaching that were in trouble. It's not just woe to Judah and woe to Israel, but now Isaiah says, you know what? I realize right now that I am undone. And while I'm prophesying to Israel about all of their sin and what's in their life, I'm realizing right now that I am undone just like they are. And he says, woe is me. And students and theologians have called the sixth chapter of Isaiah, they call it the prophet's transforming vision, because there was a transformation. Everyone say a transformation. Isaiah experienced a transformation because he went from seeing everything that was wrong with everyone else to realizing that he himself also falls short. He went from woe is them to woe is me. He went from seeing the problem, now he sees the solution. And what happened? What brought about this transformation in Isaiah? We are given a clue at what happened between Isaiah 5 and Isaiah 6. Or we could say Isaiah 6 is the transforming chapter. So what happened between Isaiah 5 and Isaiah 7? We are given a clue. And when you study the Bible, you should look for these clues and these insights, because it's right there in the scriptures. It happened in the year that King Uzziah died. All right, that doesn't help very much, does it? Okay, so we need to know a little bit about King Uzziah. And we need to understand maybe why he died and what brought about Uzziah's death. Because it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah had the transforming vision and went from woe is them to woe is me. In the year, a 365-day year, the year that King Uzziah died, it impacted Isaiah in such a way. Now, what was it about Uzziah? We must understand something about his life to understand what happened. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and you can turn there. I'm not going to read great portions of scripture from there, but please turn there to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. Sorry. In 2 Chronicles 26 tells us that Uzziah was 16 years old when he took the throne. 16. Okay, my son's about to turn 16 next week. All right, I don't know if I'm quite ready for him to rule the throne yet. He can't even take the rubbish out yet, all right? He needs a few reminders. I love him dearly, but 16-year-olds. But here is Uzziah, and he is taking the throne as a 16-year-old. Don't tell my son you said he's helping in Sunday school. And he went on to reign for 52 years. So that's something we know about Uzziah. He was a mighty and a brilliant man. And he built towers in Jerusalem, and he built towers in the desert. Uzziah expanded the vision of Jerusalem. He had lots of troops. He had military. He had smart men that created machinery that would put Israel at the front of technology in their day. They were at the cutting edge of technology, and Uzziah was leading all of this. They were a very inventive people under Uzziah. And Uzziah didn't just do this in his own strength, but Uzziah was helped by God. Everybody say, God helped him. But God didn't just help him. God also inspired Uzziah. He was seeing things and he was learning things that people had never done before. And under his leadership, Uzziah, he rose to incredible heights. The nation rose to incredible heights of political, financial, military power. And in 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5, we're going to turn there. And I forgot to turn there. I thought I'd written it down here. I've just got the reference. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5. Hopefully you've got it while I look here. It says here, it says, and he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. You want to prosper? Seek God. As long as Uzziah was seeking the Lord, God made him prosper. And there's some young people here today, they're getting ready to transition out of university and into their careers. If you want to prosper, let me tell you how you prosper. Seek the Lord. Seek his ways. Seek the word of God. Ask yourself and ask God, God, what do you want for my life? And let me say this. Sometimes when we're young and we don't know exactly what the future holds, a lot of young people, they come and they want prayer. They say, God, they say, I just want to know God's will for my life. Pastor, can you help me? I want to know what, well, sometimes they ask me, well, I just want to get married one day. I've got to find the right one. Or maybe I've got to find the right career. And they're seeking the will of God. But sometimes we don't always know ahead of time what God's will is. And so here is something for you today. And I spoke it to someone this morning in the first service. I felt led of the Spirit to share it with that person. But when you don't know the will of God, walk in his ways. Because his ways will lead you to his will. And a lot of people, they say, I don't know what the will of God is. And they get so frustrated and they walk away from God. They forsake his ways. Maybe even they take matters into their own hands. But here it is. When you don't know the will of God, walk in his ways. And when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. And so as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, the Bible says here in 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5 that God made him prosper. Let's have a look down in verse 15 and 16. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men, smart people, and to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Everyone say marvelously helped. Who was helping him? God. God was being a marvelous help. Till he was strong. And so God helped him. And he came to a place of strength. God helped him. He helped him marvelously. Till he was strong. And let me stop and say, I've seen a lot of people come to God. And God helped them sort their life out. When they got their life sorted out, they walked away from God. God's not here just to fix your problems so you can come in and walk out. He wants you to live for him. He'll continue to bless you. He will continue to prosper you as long as you seek him. So he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up in his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. He obviously became proud, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He obviously got proud. He got to a place of strength. His heart was lifted up in his destruction. You know what Uzziah began to think? He was doing everything on his own. He said, I'm strong enough now. I don't need God now. I can make it without God. I can do this by myself. And so there he goes on his own accord, because he's proud, because he's strong, He goes into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And that was something that was strictly forbidden by law. Uzziah said, I'm going to go myself, and I'm going to go into the temple by myself. I'm going to go in on my own right, and I'm going to go into the temple and I'm going to offer incense. Let me tell you, the Bible says pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so here is Uzziah. He had known for so long the success, and his heart now, unfortunately, is lifted up in pride. He had reached the place where he assumed he could not even do anything wrong in the eyes of God. And he goes into the temple defying God. 80 priests, everyone say 80 priests. They went in after him and they warned him. Now, if you're about to do something and you're about to go somewhere where you shouldn't go, or about to do something you shouldn't do, and 80 pastors were standing there at the door saying, hey, you don't want to do that, you'd probably rethink it, wouldn't you? Hopefully you would rethink it if your pastor said it. But if 80 of me came and told you not to do it, I'd hope you would listen. But Uzziah didn't. His head and his pride had got so big. He had success because of God, but in his success, he had thought it was all about him. And so 80 priests are there to warn him. They said, what are you doing, Uzziah? Have you lost your mind? Look, verse 19. So when they tried to correct him, it says, and Uzziah was wroth, and he had the censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, okay, they're trying to help him. They're trying to guide him, and they just got angry at him. He just got angry at him, and he was wroth with the priests. The leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Leprosy hit his head. Everyone say the head. I could preach that. There's symbolism in the head. Something had gone to his head. Pride had gone to his head, and leprosy hits the head. Right there in front of all those priests. There he is. Who smote him? The Lord smote him. God smote him with leprosy. 80 priests looked at each other. Huh? And you know what they did? They threw him out of the temple. Verse 20 says, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust, or they threw him out of there. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. You know, if you're going to let yourself get to where Uzziah got, God may just smite you with something. And God always works redemptively. He may smite you to bring you back. Maybe it's the thing that you need most. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a leper's house, or a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people in the land. Uzziah, what a great man. He had done such great things for Israel, but pride got in his head. He was marvelously helped by God until he was strong. But when he got strong, he thought, you know what? Pride rose up, and he thought, I'm doing this on myself. And Uzziah had actually become a picture of what Israel had become as well. He was judging them, but Uzziah is now a picture of them. Israel had made bad decisions. Pride had risen up in Israel. They had caused their relationship with God to become casual. They no longer had a fear of God. And Uzziah became the symbol of what was wrong with the whole nation. They had become a reproach. Pride had crept in, and Uzziah was a symbol of that. Pride. Everyone say pride. Pride was the original sin by which Satan fell. You are most like Satan when you walk in pride. I read the newspaper today. This isn't related to my message, but I read the newspaper today that someone in the UK named their child Lucifer. And the courts or the authorities tried to stop them because you're not allowed to give your children names that would impact them detrimentally through their life. But I read this morning that they won the court case, to name their son Lucifer. What a terrible name. But you are most like Satan when you walk in pride. You are most like God when you walk in humility. You want to be like God? Yeah. Walk in humility. Humble yourself. You want to be like Lucifer? Walk in pride. Think it's all about you. And Uzziah ends up in a leper colony, hidden away from the throne to a leper colony. Nobody wanted to see him. Nobody wanted to touch him. He had no communication. How did he end up there? Pride got him. Uzziah is a warning to us that pride, Proverbs 16 verse 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. James chapter 4 verse 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. You want to be lifted up? The way up is down. Weakness, in weakness we are made strong. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, become a servant of all. You see, Uzziah thought of himself more highly than he ought to. And there he is with a veil over his lips as the lepers would have, saying, unclean, unclean. Their leader had now become an embarrassment for Israel. Uzziah was not like David. He wasn't like Solomon. Now their king is just shut away in hiding. That's Uzziah. Everyone say Uzziah. The reason why we needed to know about Uzziah, because something happened in Isaiah's life in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah was a prophet in the middle of all of this happening. Isaiah could see the sins of the people. Woe is them, woe is them. But in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah did some soul searching and he sought the face of God. And as he sought the face of God, it brought him to a place of reality. Isaiah receives a revelation of the majesty. He receives a revelation of the power of God. He receives a revelation of the holiness of God. He receives a revelation of the glory of God. He has an encounter with God. And when he sees the greatness of God and the holiness of God, he says, woe is me, for I am undone. He said, when I saw the Lord high and lifted up, I realized just how small I am. I am undone. You see, this transition in his life, he could no longer just see the sins of everyone else, but he could see the Lord high and lifted up. And I pray today that we would not be like Isaiah in Isaiah 5. Where he can only see the sins of the people. Yeah, we need to be able to recognize what sin is, but don't go around just focusing on the sins of everyone else. Look at yourself, get in the presence of God and say, God, if there be any wicked way in me, if there be any pride in me, if there be any sin in me, Lord, in your presence, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, take a coal and cleanse me of my sin. The Bible says that if we compare ourselves to others, we are not wise. Don't come to the house of God and think, well, I'm doing pretty good compared to brother so-and-so. Or I'm doing pretty good in my walk with God compared to sister so-and-so. Isaiah was humbled in the presence of God. Verse 7 and 8 says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, saying, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Let me tell you, if we would turn back to God in humility, mercy will come. Mercy and grace will come and touch you, and God will forgive you today. If we would turn back to God, if we would go back into his presence, let me tell you, mercy will touch your life. How many people here today that is your testimony, that you reached the bottom of the bottom and you turned to God and you found his mercy? You see, even David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let me tell you, when I'm walking through this life, if I do look over my shoulder, you know what? Goodness and mercy is following me. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to experience His mercy. Wherever you are today, maybe you're thinking, Pastor, you know, I think that pride's got a hold of me. I think I've got something wrong, and I just keep thinking that I can do this in my own strength. Get back into the presence of God and start to pray, God, forgive me of my pride. Forgive me of my self-sufficiency. I can't do this on my own. I need Your mercy, God. Oh, and all of this happened to Isaiah in the king that Uzziah died. Isaiah, when mercy came, and God said, who will go and share the mercy with someone else? He said, here I am, send me. I'll be an ambassador of mercy. And that is you and I. God has saved us. Brother Morty spoke about it on Wednesday night. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of His mercy. Isaiah said, you touched me with Your mercy. You cleansed me and purified me. And if you can do it for me, you can do it for somebody else. And he said, I'll go and I'll tell somebody. Let me tell you, don't keep it a secret. If you've experienced the mercy of God, if God has touched your life, make sure you tell somebody else about it. I remember Dad tells a story. He would tell the same way he would preach about September 11 when it happened back in 2001. September 11. And straight after that happened, that terrible thing happened. The first thing that everyone was asking, who knew about this? They wanted to know who knew about it and didn't tell us. And I believe the same thing will happen when Jesus comes. When we go to meet Him in the air and we come to that judgment seat, there are people who are going to say, who knew about this? Why didn't somebody tell me? Why didn't somebody speak to me? Why didn't someone tell me their testimony? Who knew about this, that this was going to happen? We've got a job to do. We've got to tell somebody. Without Jesus, we are undone. Isaiah says, you know what? I've been looking at Uzziah, and I've seen his wickedness. I've seen his arrogance. He had everything that everybody wanted, but he lost it all. Isaiah says, I've been pointing fingers at Uzziah. But all along, while I was pointing one, there were three fingers pointing back at me. And I am also a person of unclean lips. I've seen the sins of others. But I'm just as much a sinner as anybody else. Woe is me, for I am undone. Let me tell you today, this is the gospel today. You may be undone, but Jesus can save you. He can put you back together. He can restore and renew you. He can make you new. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And His grace and mercy is still reaching out today. You know why we can become self-righteous? Because we've been away from the holiness of God too long. We begin to think, oh, I'm pretty good. But then when you go into the presence of God, woe is me. I'm not all that anymore. I was wrong in my thinking. We can feel holy when we're comparing ourselves to others, but we're not meant to compare ourselves to others. We compare ourselves to God. When you're in the presence of God, now how holy are you? How righteous are you? And so Uzziah's mistake was, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. When he was strong, though, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Our strength comes from God. Our strength comes from God. And wherever you are today, it's because of God. It's because of His Spirit. It's because of the strength that He can give you today. And I want to tell you, how are we going to make it in these last days? We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God inside of us, the flame of God setting us on fire. And that's what they said. The disciples were walking with Jesus and they're seeing miracles and He's doing all these great things. But then Jesus said, I'm getting ready to leave you. And they're like, well, what are we going to do when you leave? He said, don't worry. Go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You're not going to be able to do this in your own strength. You're not going to be able to do this in your own knowledge and all of those things. I'm going to endure you with power from on high. And if we're going to live in these last days, we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." How are we going to go into all the world? Jesus says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's how you're going to do it. That's how you're going to be endued with power from on high. Zechariah received the same message, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us need to get a refreshing and a refilling of the Holy Spirit today. Let God begin to move on your life again. Put your pride aside. You've been trying too long to do this in your own strength. Get full of the Holy Ghost and fire, and God will help you in whatever you're going through. Hallelujah. And I think about some of our brothers in the 915 service. They love Formula One car racing. I can never really get into car racing, just watching cars go around in circles. But some people really love it. But in the car races, they have pit stops. Everyone say pit stops. They pull into the pit stop. They put the car in neutral. They put their foot on the brake. They don't put it in park. They put their foot on the brake. And the pit crew come out and they restore the car. They come out, they fill it with some fuel. They put some new tires on it. They restore the car. And the driver sits there trusting the team that he's going to be able to go back out after the pit stop and go back to those high speeds and that everything's going to be okay. And you know, that's one of the reasons we come to the house of God. It's a pit stop. Church is not a place you come to. Church is a place you go from. Huh? You know what I mean? It's not just somewhere you come, you go from here. You come here to be refueled. You come here to be inspired so you can go out and do the work of God. So you can go out and shine your light in this dark world. So you can go out and live a life and be more than a conqueror. And let your light so shine before men so that you can go out and preach the gospel. So you can go out and tell somebody your testimony. Some of us need to make sure that our only pit stop is not just church, but you have regular pit stops in the presence of God. Because Sunday church is not enough to refuel you for the world that we're living in today. Some of us have to reignite our prayer life. Some of us need to reignite getting back into the Word of God and trust God and say, God, I can't do this. I don't want to be like Uzziah. I know you brought me so far, but I'm not going to leave you. I need you now more than I've ever needed you before. Give me oil in my lamp, we used to sing. Keep me burning, burning, burning. A pit stop, a top up with the oil. What's the oil speak of? The Holy Spirit. What was the difference in the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins? There was a difference. The oil was the difference. In fact, they were virgins, so they were already separated. They'd kept themselves. There was separation. But there was separation within the separation. They had separated themselves by the fact that they were virgins. But then there was a separation within that because there was five wise and five foolish. And so you can be in the church, separated yourself and in church, but you can still be wise and foolish because there were those that had oil and those that didn't have oil. There was a separation within the separation. And when you don't have enough oil, you go back into the presence of God. And say, God, fill me afresh and anew. I need your Holy Spirit. Woe is me, for I am undone. I can't parent on my own. I don't have enough wisdom. How do you parent kids in the year 2023 and all the mess that we have to see in the schools and things like that? How do you parent? How do you raise kids? How do you even make it yourself? Let me tell you, this is how we do it. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, endured with power from on high. And so they went and tarried. They prayed 10 days. Everyone say 10 days. Not 10 minutes. They tarried 10 days and the Holy Spirit fell. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. Let's all stand. 2 Kings 4. going to read that in a second. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. This world values fullness. Everyone say fullness. Fullness. We want to be fulfilled. Yeah? We want to be mindful, and we want to be filled. We want to be successful. We want to be at the top. We want to look good, and we want to have progress, and we want to, you know, enjoy all of these things. But you don't buy anything in heaven with fullness. The currency of heaven is emptiness. Everybody say emptiness. If you go to God and say, God, I'm full, He says, well, I got nothing to give you. But if you go to God and say, woe is me, for I am undone, I am empty, He says, here comes my presence. And the woman, she had nothing except just a pot of oil. We learned last Sunday, a pot of oil. And she was hungry. Her family was starving. And the man of God said, go and bring as much emptiness as you can find. As much emptiness. Go into the highways and the byways. Go to your neighbors and bring as much emptiness as you can. And so they bought all the vessels. And as much emptiness as there was, the oil just kept pouring out into the emptiness. Maybe today you need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I am empty. And that's not a bad thing, because that's the currency of heaven. You see, I don't need to look at a horoscope. I need to go and do my mindfulness or yoga or meditation. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And there was a transformation in his life today. And I'm praying today, this altar is going to be open in a moment. And let us all, before we walk out those doors, let us go home via the altar and come to the altar and say, Lord, woe is me, for I am undone. I've come to church today. I might not be destitute. I might not be totally lost. I might be a great Christian, but still, woe is me, for I am undone without you, God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Come on, just love the Lord right now, church. Just reach out to Him right now. God has been speaking in a very deep way. God is speaking specifically to someone today. You find yourself in the place that Uzziah was. God has brought this word here today as a warning to bring you back, to bring you back if you would hearken. Lord Jesus, we come before you right now. We acknowledge your greatness and your glory, your majesty, your holiness. Lord, you must increase and I must decrease. God, Lord, let us not be a people that just always at your hands wanting blessings, oh God. Let us be a people that seek your face, that seek your presence, oh God. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to pursue you. Lord, to know you in the power of your resurrection, to be filled with your Spirit, oh God, for that is the only thing that can empower us. Lord, we're hungry, we're empty. Lord God, we bring our emptiness to you today. Woe is me, for I am undone. Lord God, I need a refreshing today. Lord, I'm burned out. I need your flame again in my life. Lord, I want to be refreshed. I want to be renewed. I don't want to keep living in the smoke. I want to live in the fire of your Holy Spirit, oh God. Lord, set us on fire again for you. Hallelujah. This altar is open. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to sing a song, but come, let us make our way to this altar today. There's probably no more powerful prayer that you could pray than the prayer that Isaiah prayed. Lord, I am undone and I need you. I need you more than I needed you yesterday. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mm-hmm.